You are listening to a podcast from becomingjewish.org. Please visit us at www.becomingjewish.org. The title of this podcast is Tshuva. Rabbi Eliezer said, "Repent one day before your death." His disciples asked him, "Does then one know on what day he will die?" All the more reason he should repent today, lest he die tomorrow. Tshuva, which literally means return, is the means of atoning for sin in Judaism. According to Jewish practice, if one commits a sin, he can be forgiven for that sin if he performs tshuva. Tshuva is more than just saying, "I'm sorry," and includes the following steps: recognizing and regretting the sin, renouncing the sin, resolving never to commit the sin again. If the sin was committed against another person, one must ask for that person's forgiveness and make restitution, and ask for forgiveness from Hashem. When the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash stood, a Jew was required to bring various sacrifices for certain types of sins. The process can be found in the book of Leviticus. Although the sacrifices were required, the most essential part of tshuva, when the person bringing the sacrifice would confess his sins. Those who bring sin offerings or guilt offerings must also confess their sins when they bring their sacrifices for their inadvertent or willful transgressions. Their sacrifices will not atone for their sins until they repent and make a verbal confession. As Leviticus 5 verse 5 states, "He shall confess the sin he has committed upon it." Mishnah Torah Hilkot Teshuvah 1:1. If a person transgresses any of the mitzvot of the Torah, whether a positive command or a negative command, whether willingly or inadvertently, when he repents and returns from his sin, he must confess before the Holy One, blessed be He, as Numbers 5 verses 6 and 7 states. If a man or a woman commit any of the sins of man, they must confess the sin that they committed. Mishnah Torah Hilkot Teshuvah 1:1. With the destruction in 70 CE of the Beit HaMikdash, the Jewish practice of offering sacrifices ended. There were intermittent periods when small groups of Jews would offer the traditional sacrifice on the Har HaBayit, but this practice also ceased. Jewish life no longer revolved around the Beit HaMikdash, and this led Judaism into an area where more emphasis was placed on studying Torah, prayer, and further development of Jewish practices which did not involve the Beit HaMikdash. At present, when the temple does not exist and there is no altar of atonement, there remains nothing else aside from tshuva. Tshuva atones for all sins. Even a person who was wicked his whole life and repented in his final moments will not be reminded of any aspect of his wickedness. As Ezekiel 33 verse 12 states, "The wickedness of the evil one will not cause him to stumble on the day he repents his wickedness." Mishnah Torah Hilchot Teshuvah 1:3. Prayer has now taken the place of the korbanot. The prayer services are designed to parallel the sacrificial practices at the Beit HaMikdash. Hosea 14 verse 3. "Take words with yourselves and return to the Lord. Say, you shall forgive all the iniquity and teach us the good way, and let us render for bulls the offering of our lips." 1 Kings 8 verses 46 through 50. "If they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you will be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and their captors will carry them away captive to the land of the enemy, far or near, and they shall bethink themselves in the land where they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of their captors, saying, We have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And they shall return to you with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city that you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. And you shall hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people when they have sinned against you, and all their transgressions that they have transgressed against you, and give mercy before their captors, that they may have mercy on them." In a number of places in the Talmud, emphasis is placed on performing charitable deeds, prayer, and studying Torah. All of these are considered greater than sacrifices and can be used to achieve atonement. Rabbi Eliezer stated, "Greater is he who performs charity than he who offers all the sacrifices. For it is said, to do charity and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Once, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking with his disciple Rabbi Yehoshua near Jerusalem after the destruction of the temple. Rabbi Yehoshua looked at the temple ruins and said, "Alas for us! The place that atoned for the sins of the people Israel lies in ruins." Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spoke to him these words of comfort, "Be not grieved, my son. There is another equally meritorious way of gaining ritual atonement. Even though the temple is destroyed, we can still gain ritual atonement through deeds of loving kindness. For it is written, 'Loving kindness I desire, not sacrifice.'" Midrash Avot the Rabbi Nathaniel 4:5. According to Maimonides, a person who sins should abandon his sins and remove them from his thoughts. The person should also resolve in his heart to never commit the sins again, based upon Isaiah 55, verse 7, which reads, "The wicked shall give up his way, and the man of iniquity his thoughts, and he shall return to the Lord, who shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." He must also regret the past, as stated in Jeremiah 31, verse 18, which reads, "For after my return I have completely changed my mind, and after I had been brought to know myself, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, I stood confounded, for I bore the reproach of my youth." The person who sins must also reach the level where he knows that the hidden will testify concerning him that he will never return again to this sin. Hosea 14, verse 4, "Assyria shall not save us, we will not ride on horses, nor will we say any longer, 'Our gods,' to the work of our hands, for in you, by whom the orphan is granted mercy." Upon verbally confessing and stating these matters, which are resolved in his heart, the person has attained tshuva. Mishnah Torah, Hilkot Teshuva 2:3. Yonah ben Avraham Garondi, a 13th century rabbi from Catalonia, stated, "The repentant sinner should strive to do good with the same faculties with which he sinned. With whatever part of the body he sinned, he shall now engage in good deeds. If his feet had run to sin, let them now run to the performance of the good. If his mouth has spoken falsehood, let it now be opened in wisdom. Violent hands shall now open in charity. The troublemaker should now become a peacemaker." The goal of tshuva is clearly enunciated throughout the Tanakh, Talmud, and rabbinic writings. The process of achieving the goal of tshuva is not described. We are to do tshuva, but the process is not necessarily laid out in a clear path. Each person is unique, and as such, each path to tshuva within the written guidelines is also a unique path. As Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik stated, "The person after tshuva must be different from the person before tshuva." Who has reached complete tshuva? A person who confronts the same situation in which he sinned when he has the potential to commit the sin again, and, nevertheless, abstains and does not commit it because of his tshuva alone, and not because of fear or a lack of strength. Even if he transgressed throughout his entire life and repented on the day of his death, and died in repentance, all his sins are forgiven. As Ecclesiastes 12, verse 2 states, "Before the sun, the light, the moon, or the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain." This refers to the day of death. Thus we can infer that if one remembers his Creator and repents before he dies, he is forgiven. Mishnah Torah, Hilkot Teshuva 2:1. Thank you for listening to Tshuva. Shalom.